Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
Ooh, that's a nice sound, isn't it? To step into a studio and have 4,000 people show up to listen to your show is truly remarkable. Not many comedians in this country, in the country of Canada, that may be, where I am residing, of course, right? We all know where I am. We all know where I'm at. And 4,000 people every episode show up to listen to this. I snap my finger and then all of a sudden, there they are. Unbelievable. A lot of people always ask me, how are you able to do that? And it's like, this show is garnering viewership that many just don't understand. They don't quite understand. How does this guy even have anybody listening to this moron? And well, that's just a state of the country. That's just a current reflection on us as individuals inside the borders of Canada. That people are willing to run to this show. And that, hey, and I'm not about to sit here and say that I am above you by any means. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm above you. I'm better than you. What do I do for a living? I get up on a stage and tell my silly jokes, right? My silly little thoughts, how I'm thinking, how I'm feeling, all my feelings, how I feel about particular issues. What's happening here? Jesus Christ, again, the show's falling apart already. Is this what we're doing? That's how we start the show. You know what I mean? That's how good this show is. You come here, you know, and 4,000 people in the audience and they're having a good time. Obviously, they love watching me fail. Everybody loves watching me fail right now. Once this gets booted up, we'll do the dates. We'll get into the show. We'll get into the goddamn show, why don't we? All right. Coming up this weekend, March 30th to 31st, Ottawa, Ontario. April 5th, Toronto, Ontario with Brian Holtzman. April 11th, we are in Hinton, Alberta. April 13th, Drayton Valley. Now, the Rocky Mountain House show has been, the date has been changed, just so you know. So if you're a listener of the show and you have tickets to that particular event, please check your email. It has been moved to May 24th. That is a Friday. Then following that, April 21st, we're in Dallas, Texas. April 26th in Austin, Texas. May 3rd and 4th, Thunder Bay, Ontario. May 11th, we are in Lloydminster, Alberta. May 12th, Edmonton, Alberta. And then May 23rd, we are in Camrose, Alberta. May 24th, like I just said earlier, Rocky Mountain House. May 25th, Westlock, Alberta. New dates added, despite tour continues. It has been a remarkable tour so far this year in the first quarter. You know, we came out hard. We came out strong. It's been a hard-fought battle, you know. We went out to Vancouver on the weekend, and, some of you pay quite... you keep quite a close eye on us. You see what we're up to. You see the shenanigans taking place around us. And there was a protest that took place outside of the show, which is a first ever in Danger Cat's history. Very, very odd. Okay, first off, like, I understand. Yes, come out, protest. You have every God-given right to be out there and say and do whatever you want. That's what I believe. If you don't like us, protest us. Sure, that's fine. You know, I am a full-blown advocate of free speech. Whether I don't like the speech, you know, whether I don't like it, I think that you have the right to say it, you know. Now, when it comes to violence, inside of sport, a big fan of it. Now, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh boy, whenever there's a street fight video on Twitter, I scroll right past it. No, of course I watch it. I'm only human. You know, all this war porn that's being shoved in our face, it has been for the better half of 20 years now. You know, ever since I was a youth, it was like the Iraq war in our face. And then the war in Afghanistan, the war on terror, the war in Ukraine, the war in fucking Palestine, you know, there's wars. It's just you're desensitized to a lot of the wars that are taking place now, you know, and like your mind can't comprehend that level of violence taking place on the soil that you reside in. I think we have a lot of issues when it comes to that, you know, and maybe that's the reason why people are out protesting for Palestine and all that. And they're like, you know, these people came from there and now they're here. And you're like, you don't understand. And it's like, yeah, you're right. And then, you know, us as people living in a free society, maybe some of you feel guilty for that and have to go out and march with them. Like I seen Brett put out a video of one guy, he's protesting out in Austin, Texas for the free Palestine. And then Brett asks him, he goes, oh, well, what are you protesting? He goes, well, fucking free Gaza. What do you think? I'm out here for free Gaza. And I think he misheard him and he thought they were out there for free gas, free Gaza. And there was a little bit of an accent on there. Free Gaza. I'm like, oh. So, I can't remember the question he asked him, but he's like, I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm just out here. Nothing better to do? And he's like, yeah, pretty much. So, like, we're just protesting for the sake of protesting now. And I've always wondered that. And like I said, with the Vancouver show and people protesting outside, I like I said, you have every God-given right to be out there and protest and do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want with your time. It's very limited on this earth. You're only granted so much of it. Which you know, leads me to my next question, right? It's like, how does a protest end? I've always wondered that, you know, like I even asked the fellas that, and it's like, how do they end? You know, we're sitting before the show and it's like, how does that end out there? Like, do they stay the whole time until we leave? I have so many questions that are unanswered going into this endeavor this weekend, lads. And I don't quite understand how they end. And I found out. As soon as there's like really no opposition, you know, nobody's real to like, if there isn't a combatant on the other side to be like, have a little bit of a verbal ping pong going on, it just kind of dissipates and you find another place to go, you know? And that's what happened this weekend is folks gathered. They were there for the better half of about an hour. Maybe a little bit longer. I think they packed her in after a good hour. The news got their clips. It's just like, it's like production. It's quite the experience, you know? Even take out what it's about and just zoom out of the protest. There's a lot of things happening there that I didn't quite realize, you know. Usually I'm just a viewer of this. I've never been like a part of it or a reason to be protesting, you know. So and then that leads to many more questions down the road. It's like, oh, okay. So and then you figure out quite quickly that, you know, the news shows up. They need something. They need a story. They have to produce something. They got to go back to the editing room with something. And I'm very pleased to say that there was no violence that took place outside. There was like a little bit of shoving. And that guy was a dickhead. He got booted out of the show. He got shamed in the show. The guy that was out creating a little bit of a turbulence out on the street by engaging with these people that we're protesting. Now, I get it. If you're out there and the tensions are high, but it's like, come on, man, just fucking relax. Jesus. There's no need to like rile this up anymore. You know, like, hey, cool it, brother. It's a comedy show. What are you doing? And then this guy in the show, he tries hijacking it by saying some wild shit. Just sitting there acting like he's a fucking cool dog, you know? Like, I get it. Yeah, our comedy is not for everybody. I totally understand that. And rightfully so, you know? Not everything is for everybody, you know? We can't just, we gotta escape this idea that we have to make everything for everybody. I feel, anyways. These are my feelings. Because it becomes bland and boring, you know? That's how pop music has gotten to the place where it is, because there's really, you know, not saying that pop music was ever great, but I mean, even just music in general is like it's very bland. It seems like it's idiotic. You're speaking to like we're slowly dumbing down society. Like you take the top 10 songs from the 1970s and there's like a nice melody to it. There's a thought out lyrics attached to them. And they're like, oh, well, what do you mean? Those are government psyops, brother. Those lyrics were written by government psyops to get you to believe so that way we could have the counterculture. It's like, wow, holy Christ, yeah, fucking whatever. You know, and then you got like a lady like Ice Spice she thinks she's a shit, not even a fart. I don't know what the lyrics are, but you listen to that and you're like, oh my God, is this where we're at? Is this where we're at as a society? Is these lyrics are now all over the airwaves and seeping into the eardrums of the youth? We have crept so close to the plot of Idiocracy, the great Mike Judge movie, that we are there, you know? Like he made fun of Crocs in that movie, saying that everybody's going to wear this ridiculous footwear in the future. And we are. We celebrate the footwear called Crocs, you know? A lot of people were walking around wearing them. And in the movie, they mock them. They wanted footwear that was just so retarded. And they put it in there and made all the citizens wear this footwear. And here we are today with everybody wearing Crocs. And the music's dumb. We're dumb. You know, I think we're just lost as human beings right now, and we're trying to attach ourselves to whatever we possibly can. So that way, like the closing of an era, you know, the once great North America as it crumbles beneath our feet, we can at least enjoy ourselves with folks that are like-minded. You know, it's similar. And, you know, everybody wants to be like, you're fucking liberal, you're fucking conservative. You just got to tribe up for right now and just like enjoy the presence of those that think alike. You know, you got to share your thoughts and ideas, you know, and if it's like sitting there and being like, hey, you want to talk about jerking off with your fellas? You have that. You have that ability to do that because that's your tribe. Those are your homeboys. You can talk about that in a shop. You can be very passionate about the words that you say. You can bitch about the same politics. You can have you can share a Bud Light again. You can share a case of Bud Lights again. Because, you know, we have Kid Rock shot them all up. Kid Rock shot up all the Bud Lights. Now they're... He shot all the gay ones. All the gay Bud Lights are gone. Kid Rock shot them. You're good. You won't get that. You won't turn trans if you drink Bud Light. Crazy. Fucking crazy. Insanity. The world that we live in. But yeah, that was interesting to me because I've never really known how a protest comes to a close. Nuts. It was just like, yeah, it just kind of ended as tensions dwindled. Then it was like, okay. And then we had a deep cover spy out there just kind of reporting back to us, right? There was some reports coming back. And I was like, hey, did you figure out like what caused it to end? They were like, hey, there's another protest at Crab Park. And then everybody's like, really? Yeah. We should head on over there. This one seems to be done with. Our work here is done. And then they moseyed on over to Crab Park to protest the removal of the tent city there. And this is in Vancouver. So it's like, this is a whole day. This is a whole day. And it's an experience. And you're gathering with those folks. Similar to like people come to the comedy show. They're gathering. They're coming to, you know, they paid for an experience where it's almost commendable. It's almost, you know, respectable that these people get together. And it's kind of, it's a low cost way of spending your day with a group of people that are like-minded to you. And who am I to judge that? That would be a very assholish thing of me to do, wouldn't it? To judge somebody who is just trying to go out and enjoy their day. And whether that's enjoyable to them is like for them to decide. I mean, that's subjective on whether or not gathering in masses to, you know, just spread their messaging. And rightfully so. Get out there. Have some fun. Who would I be to sit here and be like, hey, you can't be protesting? Meanwhile, I was like, hey, I love the fucking trucker convoy. It was the greatest chili cook-off of all time. There's bouncy castles. That would have been great if they brought a bouncy castle out to kind of mock the trucker convoy to us. If like they had a street hockey game, well, they closed it down. Had a street hockey game to protest the Danger Cats comedy show. A lot of folks. Maybe that solves something. I don't know. What do I know? One thing I do know. Okay. From being in Vancouver, blue collar fellas, very, very passionate about their job title. And I know that for a fact. I come from the back. I have a background, you know, I used to be a part of that. Now I just want to gather you all and tell my stupid thoughts that sit in my head. I want to give you an evening where you kick your feet up, you know, all the fellas get together. It's like fucking sitting in a shop, knocking back a few sarsaparillas, talking some jazz. And one gentleman, you know, he's like, very passionate rigger, very passionate about drill and oil, you know, and I got to come clean here. I was never on the rigs. I got to come clean. I was never on the rigs. I was a pipeline operator. I was a field operator, a pipeline field operator. Oh, that ain't a good one. Relax. What do you think? Why do you think I had so much time to make these silly videos of just regurgitating the things that I heard inside of a lunchroom, you know, and discussing these topics and chit-chatting with everybody? The fuck is that? And having to chit chat about these types of things with the folks of the internet, you know, just putting out dumb videos, exercising my First Amendment, something like that.
What the hell is going on here?
All right, and the passion that. I think it stems from, you know, you grow up and we got to find something as a man to be passionate about, or else you lose that drive. You know, you can look into a man's eyes and see a lot about him simply by just like his demeanor, what the eyes look like. Are they bloodshot? You know, are the pupils larger than life? Is he very chatty? You know, these are signs of a cocaine addiction. You know, you can tell that right away. You'll be able to tell that. There's all sorts of things. There's all sorts of nonsense that can happen, you know? And one thing about the blue collar guys that I admire is the passion behind the job title. The passion. There's not much to be passionate about. You know, like... And I'm not dogging anybody about this. You know, I come from that. I am that. Most of my family members are that. I am cut from that cloth. And the passion that blue collar dudes have with their jobs is very admirable. I will say that. But in the same breath, you kind of like, you know, is it a sign of giving up or are you just all in? And I have to put myself in your shoes. Because that would be like, oh, I don't care about comedy. I'll just fucking go up. I'm very passionate about this. And as you should too. Because there's not much left to be passionate about. You know, you want to be passionate about sports teams, but you're not really that invested. You know, you show up, you pay like the overinflated ticket prices. You want to enjoy a beer at the game, but that's $24 for just a can of beer. You know, it's tough to be passionate about something like that. But like when you get up and, you know, it's like the subculture of the workforce that you have planted yourself into, you chose to be a rig hand. You chose to be a consultant. You chose to be an electrician. You know, these are decisions that you made, and then like to hop behind it and be passionate about it is it's respectable. It's respectable. And one gentleman at the weekend there, we popped in and checked out Brian Callen's show there, and there was a, you know, there was a driller there. There was a blue collar lad that spends a good majority of his time on a drilling rig. And he's like, I didn't support him in the beginning, that Uncle Hack, you know. He was speaking on behalf of the patch, and I didn't really like that. It's like, whoa. I didn't realize, you know, I didn't realize I was like the Mussolini of the oil patch. I didn't realize like I was speaking for everybody. I thought I was just throwing out some dumbass content, and I didn't realize that I was speaking. So maybe I owe some of you an apology. You know, maybe I am the asshole. Maybe I am the one that needs to stand here and say, hey, listen, fellas, I was just goofing around, okay? I was just trying to have a good time to pass the work day. I was just trying to get by. That's all. That's all. I was just trying to make my day a little brighter and make it go by a little faster. So I invested in a GoPro and talked some jazz into it. Okay. And I thought the boys would have a little giggle at it. You know? And I will say, am I the most intelligent individual? No. Should I be speaking on behalf of the patch? Absolutely not. No. Do I represent a portion of it? Maybe so. Maybe so. Now, should I be the spokesperson of it? Debatable. Debatable at best. But then I went him over and it's like, yeah, here's the thing. This is what made me laugh. This is what made me it wasn't until we seen that he fought MMA that it was like, all right, this guy's in. It's like, oh, so that's all it took? It had nothing to do with the industry. It just was like a display of stupidity to hop into a cage with another man just to trade blows. That's all it took. That's all it took to win these guys over. That's what I mean. That's like, that's respectable. That's respectable. That's why I like the blue collar guys. It's like, they look at them and be like, nice. Okay. Everything he said prior, everything I said before that is out the window. Sick. You mean to tell me he just hopped in a cage and fucking fought guys instead of just doing it outside of a hotel karaoke bar in a small town? This guy put the time in, went and trained. Okay. He was no good at his job. Who gives a shit? None of us are, quite honestly. None of us are. But he had a side hobby that we can hop behind, you know, like, hey, we're angry. The only problem is our outlet for it is just screaming at one another on a rig floor. That's the only difference. This guy went into a gym and just traded fucking blows with his friends on a Thursday evening. Very good. That's great. You know, it's hilarious that you can win somebody over in that way of just like, just a little bit of, I guess your sports achievements. We as men, we celebrate that type of shit though. We like that. We like not, dudes like that. When somebody like does some cool shit, dudes will gather around and want to hear about the cool shit, you know? Because some of us didn't get the opportunity to go out there and do it. Maybe you knocked up your old lady at a young age and you had to become a father at 21, you know, and you're married to the iron now. You're married to the job. Not exactly something that you wanted to do, but it is something that you have to do. And you got to find that passion again. So you just like, all right, I'm a fucking electrician. What are you going to do about it, right? Yeah, so what? I'm a pipe fitter. You want to fight about it? You got to find that spark. See how I said electrician and spark and I tied that together? You got to find that spark. That's something, you know? And you can be proud about that. I'm not saying you can't be proud of your job title, as you should. They're stripping away for everything from us anyways, you know? Even these jobs that we're talking about here, especially surrounding the patch, you know, back in the day, back in the day, oh God, I'm turning into that. Back in the day, you know, you used to be able to just fucking fail high school and go up to Fort McMurray and make fucking $900,000 a year. You back in my day, you could do that. Now, taxes, inflation, you know, prices are going up, carbon tax, all this bullshit, you know. You used to be just a knuckle-dragging dipshit that could be up to his fucking eyeballs in debt and still make a nice wage. You could own a house, a boat, a jet ski, fucking, you know, you had a snowmobile that you didn't fucking ride around. You got all this shit, you know, but I didn't support him in the beginning until I found out that he fought. This guy went in there and just, hey, he said, hey, I want some CTE. I want to bring myself down to everybody else's level. And it's like, I was already there in high school. You know, I was already dumb in high school. I sit here, you know, somebody gets around me and starts throwing around some big words, man. I start fucking looking like, I'm a tourist in a foreign land that's hearing a language for the first time. I'm staring at him. My eyes are wide. My pupils are dilated. I'm trying to comprehend, like, what the hell did this guy just say to me? There was no slang words in there. I'm lost. You know, I'm out in the woods with no map, trying to figure out how this conversation is going. And I just got to smile and nod like an idiot. Like I know exactly what they just said. That's a tough game to play. Be like, quite exquisite. And you got to play that game. Oh man, I'm cut from that small town cloth, brother. Christ almighty. We can't get through four words without dropping an F-bomb. You know what I mean? That's how we communicate. And you want me to go sit here and what are we doing here? Are we trading Harvard degrees? The hell is this? You know? So there's even angst between the blue collar fellas, between job titles is what I'm trying to tell you, which is crazy. We're all dipshits, you know? We're all dipshits. Some guys are smarter than others. You're better at your job than others, as it should be. That's where the passion comes in. You know, when you were a young child, maybe you were passionate about sports. Maybe you were passionate about mechanics or something like that. Whatever your hobby was at that time. Some guys just like, they don't even leave their passion behind. They're still trying to be a Twitch streamer. You know, at 35 years old, you're trying to be a Twitch streamer. Playing Madden. Playing Call of Duty for three viewers, just doing it for the love of the game. Some of you don't even have any viewers. You're just like, I'm going to make it as a streamer. That's the new thing, is streaming. I never understood that. The streaming thing, you know? And then like, well, you would sit there and watch guys that are good at sports. And it's like, okay, I see the crossover here, you know? I understand the crossover. A couple kids want to sit around and watch a guy play video games. I would do that when I was a young lad. You know, you watch your older cousins play the game because they were better than you. They were better at it 007. And we just did that live in the flesh. We didn't do it with computer screens. That's the difference between our eras. We like to gather. I'm from that millennial age where technology didn't quite take over. Technology just was there to make a rainy day better. That's all it was, you know? That's all it was. A rainy day minute, you just like, mom might rent an N64 game and you and the cousins get together and play WrestleMania 2000, which is a legendary game, you know. A little Diddy Kong Racing was in the mix. And those were good days. But a better day was you and the neighborhood kids gather in and have a little street hockey match, you know. You guys are playing a fucking Stanley Cup final up to game sevens. Those were the days, you know, and I wonder, like, does it still happen? I can't come floating around neighborhoods and just watch kids play fucking street hockey. I'd end up in cuffs. I'd be in jail. You can't lurk around and just throw a lawn chair down and watch the sweaty kids running up and down the block playing a little street hockey like that. You can't have that. You can't have that. I don't know what the hell is going on here. People banging on shit. We're trying to record a freaking episode here. Whole walls are coming down, you know? Trying to enjoy ourselves here. Yeah, that is I don't know if you heard all this fucking banging and whatnot. But that's a fun thing. And that's, sorry, that totally diverted my attention to all the noise surrounding me right now. And I don't know what's happening. Anyways, but yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, I love the passion of these folks, you know? I love the passion. Because it excites me. It's like good. It's good to see, you know, we can't be bringing the fellas down. That's the new thing. It's like now I realize like when I was vaping, I was very negative and I don't know what they put in those things. You know, we're off that. We're off the vapes, bros. We're off the vapes. We're strictly zinning. I like the zins. We're back dipping. That was the problem all along, you know. You try and get off the, and I know that's not true. That's not true. What are you doing? It's similar, straight nicotine, no tobacco, just right to the. You're cutting all the horse shit, and that was the problem. Maybe like the vape was fucking with my brain waves, dude. We gotta cut all that out. When I was vaping, there was a lot of negativity going on. You know, you're surrounding yourself with all these bad thoughts, and I think that smoke, you know. Just sifts up right into the brainwaves. I don't know. This is a dumb analogy, but I think it sifts up into the brainwaves and crosswires a little bit there, and you start getting some evil thoughts up in that dome, you know? But now it's like injected right into the bloodstream, right from the lip. Now it's helping me out. Now we're straight positivity, you know? Like and you know, vaping hack would have sat here and been like, listen, you didn't support me in the beginning. What are you gay? You know, where now I'm like, yeah, bro, I get you. I feel you. Because like right now with this like Matt Rempe guy in the NHL, it's like sparking my interest in the NHL again. This young guy comes in and he's like throwing bombs around, knocking guys, just clobbering dudes in the head and some of the heavyweight champs of the league. And you just like, you're rooting for this guy. You're rooting for him, you know, because it's just like, it's a reflection of the past now in the future. And you're looking at it, it's like, this is a young fucking... You know, Dave Semenko. We're looking at something fresh again. Oh, violence is back in hockey. This kid is just sparking it. And that's what you like. You want to see the younger generation just kind of have remnants of the past that you once had, you know? And it's like, oh, I can identify with that dude because he likes to fuck around a little bit. He likes to get down. He's a cool little cat. You know, and men, we still have this built into our brains, you know, of like this archaic age style of violence that sits inside our dome. And when we see dudes just getting violent, and like I said earlier, it's tough to turn off the Twitter street fights, you know, you see that and you're like, oh yeah, who we got? It's like bare knuckle boxing, so violent, you know, guys' eyelids are falling out of their face. And still, you just like, you sit there, you're at the edge of your seat, it's entertainment. You're like, ah, the gladiators, ah. You know, you get excited when you see a fight in hockey. You get like, but it's also like, you know, you don't want to see the style of violence that you see in like war and whatnot, because it's a bit like, oh, God, oof, you know? Like these videos that you're seeing in the Ukraine of guys just chilling and all of a sudden a bomb drops on them and you're like, oof. Jesus Christ, I didn't want to see that right now, you know? I didn't want to see that in the Twitter timeline. I wanted to see two guys square up outside of like a fucking Chili's and be like, listen here, dickhead, you spilt my fucking pint. That's what you want to see. You just want to see like agreed upon violence between individuals, you know? Like, you want to fight me, motherfucker? Yeah. All right. It's high noon, partner. Let's get down. That shit gets you. That gets you fired up, you know? And that's and then you can identify with that guy. It's like everybody's been in a little bit of a tussle. I'd imagine anybody would listen to this podcast. You've been in something, at least a verbal sparring match, you know? And fuck you, fuck me, fuck you. A little bit of that. And you know, you get the shit talking going. It's good. It's healthy. Cause like men now, we're getting squeezed. The pressure is on. It's like to keep that contained, you know. It's like fucking keep that contained, and they strip it away from sports, you know. Like they're slowly like you take football, hockey, all that. They're like, oh, we got to take a hitting away from the head. It's like there was nothing, you know, as sick and twisted as it is, and I'll speak on behalf of the boys, you know, you didn't want to see it, but when you did see it, you're like, God damn, you know, when you seen just a clean hit, open ice, or, you know, a punt return, and some guy's just like sprinting up and does not see that guy coming out from the left and just absolutely murders him at the 20-yard line. And you're like, whoo, you know? More often do you hear somebody go, oh, they're in a game when there's a big hit. And you're like, oh, of course, there's a flag, you know? And even like junior hockey, they're taking away fighting from the junior. You got to let these kids like release this energy. You got to release that energy. You got to give like young men something to just like unleash on one another. I remember coaching and there was one kid. And I don't know, we won't say his name, but I remember I was coaching minor hockey, okay? And we went around the room and we asked, you know, hey, fucking, why do you play hockey? And this one kid said, I just like to hurt kids. And I was taken back by that because it was like a lot of, you know, he threw me off guard. A lot of the guys, I just like getting here and playing hockey with my friends. It's a lot of fun. And then he drops that bombshell on me, and all I thought was like, huh. I was taken back a little bit. And I was like, all right, well, you clearly got some issues, and you're working them out by, sticking a guy? That's what helps solve this? You know, I'm just a little angry. I'm just a little angry. You know, I don't quite understand what's happening to my body. Testosterone's running through it. I'm feeling like, you know, I'm revved up. My brain and doesn't know how to react to it. I'm trying to figure out how to regulate it. And all I think is violent thoughts. And now I'm putting words in his mouth, but I get where he came from. Because, you know, you there's like shit that bothered you when you were young. And it's like, oh, yeah, guess what? I'm playing the fucking team that I don't like from the other town. I'll just take it out on them. And you sat there in the classroom and you thought about it for the whole week and be like, oh, God, I really hope that that number 18 on that team isn't injured. Because, boy, oh, boy, would I love to just stick him in his rib cage. You know, you'd think these thoughts as a young boy. And you're in the middle of math class dreaming about, like, high-sticking somebody. You know, want to whack him in the head with your hockey stick. Or like, oh, God, if he cuts middle and I'm on that ice, boy, oh, boy, I'm going to hip check him and try and fucking make him do a front flip. And you'd have these thoughts. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just a fucking young man thinking about the game of hockey. And I'm rambling here today. I'm having fun. No, really no articles. There was only one that I want to kind of talk about. Was the just for laughs right now, the big comedy festival here in Canada, it has shut its doors for the year, and now comedians that are coming out are being like, well, what are we gonna do? And it's you know, like a lot of, and I feel bad for the comics that were like depending on it to a degree, but at the same time, you're putting all your eggs in one basket, you know, similar to like, you know, when you're just like, you want that job so bad. It's like, oh man, I would be so great. It'd be a great fit. All my boys work over there. All my friends are there. The pay is good. Well, maybe there it isn't as much for fucking Canadian comics, but I don't know. I've never been a part of it. They don't want guys like me around there. You know, they don't want fellas like me. We're having people protest our goddamn shows these days. They don't want me. Are you kidding me? A government-funded comedy festival inviting me? Hell would have to fucking freeze over. And I understand that, you know. I understand that. We're going a different route. And you don't want to associate with that. It's just saying that it feels gross, you know, in a sense. But I was reading the one guy and be like, oh, just, he's like mocking, you know, I got 70,000 followers on TikTok and I can't solely depend on those people showing up to shows. I needed like the boost from JFL. And it's like, yeah, we're kind of in this era where comedy in Canada is being stripped. It's being stripped away. And you have to have a little bit of outlaw in you to kind of dance in the fire a little bit. You know, it's kind of fun right now. Because the results, you know, you got two options. You can pander and try and win everybody over, or you can just be yourself and face the music as it comes in. And I think that has made this a little bit more fun. And like during the, you know, I'm fucking way too young in comedy to be going through what I'm going through right now. I will admit that. 2 years of it has been spent in a lockdown, you know, so we're juggling, trying to figure out how to, you know, make this work. 2 years of that. And then the other two has just been sheer hell in a good way. You know, it's been 2 years of like, oh, we got to cancel this shit. And then 2 years later, it comes back again. And now it's even like, holy shit, there's headlines everywhere. You're like, oh my God, I'm way too young in this game to be. Wow, how am I here? And you got to like look around and kind of smell the daisies and like, what the fuck is going on? Are we all okay? That's what here's the part I don't understand about it. You know, and I'm just thinking out loud. This show isn't meant to be taken seriously. Like, here's one last night. We're rocking some mics here in the local scene of Edmonton, right? And I'm working on a new bit. And the one girl goes in the crowd, goes, are you serious? Am I serious about the bit, about the shit that I'm making up right now? All this stuff. And you wonder why, you know, comedy can be hard, but also easy at the same time. It's like, you think that this, what I'm saying, is real? You think the words coming out of my mouth are real? It's just made up horse shit. Nobody in here is just fucking, you know, what are we doing? What are we writing history books right now? What are we doing? Is this class? No, just shut your mind off and listen to the stupid shit that these idiots are. You think all of us are out here trying to be Noam Chomsky, for Christ's sakes? We're trying to shape the future? We just want to say our stupid well, comics are supposed to be fucking, you know, the last bastion of free speech. They're supposed to just let the clowns be clowns. Leave it alone. I understand why older comics just get fucking fed up with people. You know, you start to just like, you meet headliners, man, and some of them just have this audience, like this demeanor to them. You're like, Jesus fucking Christ. I understand why some of them just like, people are fucking retarded. Not all of them are like that. You know, you just, you bump into a bit of a, maybe you run into, you know, these folks just like you're taking something that shouldn't be taken serious, very seriously. It's all fucking nonsense. Are you serious? No. Of course I am. Yes. Yes, I jerk off in the chip aisle in the 7-Eleven on the north side. Of course I do. You know, and that's not the bit. I'm just saying, like, you know, you're saying this shit for comedic value.
Well, it's so shocking. Everything is shocking. Yeah.
We want to like dissect everything. You know, that's you're watching everybody like dissect shit now and trying to be like, well, that one's around, right? He's just saying stupid shit. And they're doing stupid shit. Why are we taking this serious? I don't get that. I don't get that. But then you look around and I'm trying to understand the world better, you know? I'm trying to understand the world a little bit better and where the state of Canada is. And I truly believe that we are like that country that's just like, I know Tucker Carlson a little while ago, oh, there's the devil. Speaking of the devil, hello, here I am. You know, and then Tucker's like, Canada is ahead of America. Or I think like, socially, I think we're behind America in a way of like, we want to believe like we're the most progressive, most accepting people. But in reality, we're not, you know, we're kind of behind all this. We're trying to be the cool kid that was never cool. You know, Canada was cool when we were just like, hey, when you looked at Canada and you were like, oh, they just like to drink beer, play hockey, you know, like those Molson Canadian commercials. If you tried to do that now, you'd just be like, what the fuck is this? This isn't Canada. We've kind of lost that. And Canada has now turned into like this almost, it's like a town hall meeting for a book club that nobody's interested in, you know? That's what it seems like. And it's just, you know, the folks that show up to like a book club, and we're trying to like figure out how to navigate that and make it into mainstream, you know, with the internet censorship and what is Canadian culture. We're blocking the news. Nobody really knows what's going on. Nobody really, we care to a degree. And that degree is like, oh, I'll just sit and argue on Facebook because that's all I have left. You know, Canada as a whole is hilarious because it's like a hot topic that isn't selling like any merchandise. You know, if you took out the merchandise of a hot topic, that's what's left. Just kind of people looking around like, what do we do next? What do we do next? Where do we go? Where do we go from here? We're scratching our heads, looking at our shoes every now and then. Fucking, well, what do you think? And like, well, I don't fucking know. Let more immigrants in. I don't know. What the hell? And they're like, well, yeah, is that a good idea? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Do it. What do we do? Let the immigrants in, and then we'll just, like, I don't know, maybe something will happen in this next little while, and we can go protest. You know, we gotta be, like, overly progressive, and nobody really thinks it through. We just kind of blindly agree with a lot of the decisions that are made in Ottawa or whatever legislative building. We just blindly agree and be like, yeah, no. Because it's packaged nicely, you know. It's packaged nicely. Just good enough to where it passes muster for the morons. And if you wave a not even a blank check, you just wave a check in a lot of people's eyes right now, you can garner their attention. Hey, look over here. Carbon tax. We're going to give you money. Oh, really? You know, we've kind of lost that, the Canadian spirit, I would say. I think a lot of people have lost the Canadian spirit. We kind of just like, eh, you know. Eh, hockey games are too expensive. You can't put your kid in hockey. Well, why does God revolve around hockey? I don't know. For the fact that for the past however many years we've won Olympic gold, we've been pretty damn good in the World Juniors. It's just one of those things, you know? Can't we just enjoy it? Can't we just enjoy the game? Can we just leave that one thing alone that we can just all fucking rally behind? It's like, well, inflation went up, so it's going to cost you about $3,000 to sit in the nosebleeds. It's like, oh, God, here we fucking go. So we can't go to the game? Yeah, and guess what? We're also going to raise the price of your TELUS bill, so that way the Sportsnet package is a little more... Oh, great, so I can't even watch it at home. And now the internet's censored. I can't even illegally stream it. Oh, my God, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? What am I supposed to sit at home and just punch my bag all day long? Is that what I'm supposed to do? No. Look at this. And they wave another check in front of your eyes and you're like, oh, what's that one? It's a carbon tax rebate. Huh? What does that even mean? Don't look into it. We're just going to redistribute a bit of the wealth and put it into, you know, impoverished families' hands. So that way a little bit of purchasing can happen, you know? That's why we're going to level this bitch out. We're just going to give you, just remember, when elections come rolling around, we got to make sure those rebates get in the hands of people before those elections come rolling around. So that way we can garner a little support. That'll make some people happy, right? A couple $1,200 a year. You know, we're going to boost you up $1,200 a year. Just remember, though, when you hit the polls, who gave you the check? Who gave you the check? So it's like a shitty bribe. That's what I see it as. It's just like a shitty bribe right now. And keep in mind, this is coming from the thoughts and feelings of a moron. But the people excited about this are kind of like, you know, it's like, you look at them and you're like, what are you contributing other than a Facebook comment section? You know, what do you do besides argue on the internet? Imagine the fucking existence of that. Arguing on the internet, not even in real life. Real life is fun. to argue in. We don't do that as much anymore. We got to like rally behind a protest and link up and have cops in between us to scream and yell at one another as each side has different flags, different posters, different fucking, you know, chants. It's basically turned into like soccer hooligans with just like political issues to rally behind rather than some fucking soccer team in England. That's pretty much what's happening now, isn't it? Soccer, like the protesters now are just like soccer hooligans that gather and then they fight one another. The police come in. You got to sit on, you know, opposite sides of the stadium. That's what it's turned into. It's just like people fucking getting together. They got their signs. It's like a sporting event now. The media is there. They're covering it. You get the highlights later on television. Maybe that's what this is turning into. It's a spectacle. It's the only last thing that is truly free in this country, other than buying your accessories and whatnot, but it costs you nothing to show up. You can show up, you can scream and yell, get that out of you. And once again, we're back to the only piece of entertainment left in Canada is to go out in the streets and scream and yell at one another. You know, we don't have the time. We don't have the money. We don't have the resources to go and, you know, distract ourselves with these obscure activities. You know, Cirque du Soleil is coming to town and you're like, who gives a shit? You want to know we're going down? They're deciding to put they're going to remove the benches at a park. So we're going to go down there and we're going to scream and yell at one another. We're going to scream at the workers that were like contracted to go and remove these, even though they don't fucking care. They don't care. They're given a wage and now they're getting yelled at and put on the media, put on your local news network and being like, look at these bigots taking away the benches. Where are the homeless going to sit? It's like, I don't fucking know, man. I'm barely fucking hanging on over here too. You know, if they didn't decide to remove these benches, they were fucking honestly planning to cut about 1,300 more guys from, you know, this division. And I was probably on the chopping block. So I'm just thankful to be here and to survive another one of those layoff seasons, okay? So if the whole city wants to start removing some fucking benches, I would be more than happy to go and remove the goddamn benches. You know, I'm behind two payments on my mortgage. I can't even register my car right now. So I'm driving around with no insurance and no registration because I can't afford that. Inflation's gone up so much, you know, I'm barely putting any food in the fucking fridge. My wife screams in my ear every time we go home. This is what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I just got to lie through my teeth and be like, everything's going to be okay. And I just stare out the window sometimes and be like, you know, what if I just went on a rampage downtown and did 20 years in the federal prison system? You know, what if I just went on a rampage and did 20 years? I get a cot. I get 3 square meals a day. They got a gym. I could probably get in shape. I'd be hanging out with I'd meet some new friends, play some poker, sit around, play some cribbage every Sunday. You know, they got movie nights. They got all sorts of schedules going on in there. You know, you start weighing your options. But here I am having another group of people scream in my ear as I'm trying to remove a fucking park bench so I can just make ends meet, you know? And I don't get the rebate. I'm in a different tax bracket. In fact, they're taking money from me from the fucking carbon tax, so I don't even get the fucking rebate. Meanwhile, these assholes just screaming in my fucking face. What do they get? They get an additional $1,300 a year, and I'm over here. What am I doing? I'm breaking my fucking back trying to get this bench that they put in back in 1973 that has so much goddamn concrete to the posts that they put in the ground that it's going to take me 3 fucking days to chisel this away. Do you think I'm happy? You think I'm having a good fucking time? No. Nobody's having a good time right now. And that's why we resort back to being soccer hooligans in the streets of urban centers and screaming at one another. And we move to the next. What next screaming match can we get in with some opposing views? You know? I got a new sign. Do you think they keep different signs in the back of the Honda Civic? Or do they even have a Honda Civic? What do they have? What do they drive? How do they get there? Did you Uber? Where's the other sign? Do you have enough money to take an Uber home? Or are you on the train with all your protesting gear and be like, oh, nice. How was the protest? Not bad. Pretty good one. You know? Is that what happens? It's crazy. I don't know. I'm not on that side of the fence. I'm not quite there yet. I've attended like a few, I guess you could say like protests. I've attended a couple. Now, what did those entail? It was like driving around the city, honking a horn, being like, fuck them, whatever. I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to say there was nothing going on, you know? There was nothing going on at the time. What was I supposed to do? Sit at home and watch the second season of Tiger King? Are you out of your mind? That was boring. First season, they should have capped it off there and just kept us on a cliffhanger. And now I got to see Joe Exotic sitting in fucking prison. That's what I got to look forward to? No. There's a bunch of tractors and whatnot going to drive around the legislative building downtown Edmonton. What do you say you go down there and check that out? Yeah, sounds like a way better time than just sitting staring at the fucking wall. That seems like a much better time. And then you had opposing people and it was screaming and yelling. And I think that's what kicked it all off. Is like we finally got like a protest big enough to garner national attention, you know, enough where people wanted to be a part of it. And they're like, fuck this, tired of sitting at home. Let me outside, please. And then people were yelling from their balconies, get the fuck back inside. And then they were screaming and yelling at one another. And then that was the spark. And it was the beginning of the protest era in Canada. And now every other fucking day, we got a new one. Which is good because it's getting people outside. It's good. You know, we're soccer hooligans without the game and just political issues. You know, you got the fucking Free Palestine yelling at the Jewish guys. And then we're trying to figure out, is this anti-Semitic or not? You know, we're juggling so many ideas in the air. It's just mass confusion. It's garnering all these new conversations that we can take place in the public forum, you know. We're doxing one another. That's great. You know, then before you know it, everybody's doxed and nobody's got a job. We're all on UBI. That's what it comes down to. You know, everybody that's just trying to get everybody fired from a job, then, you know, that happens and nobody wants to fill the position. So the robots come in and what do they start doing? They start fucking stacking all the boxes in a dollar store. They're shelving all the dollar store items. You know, the robots are coming around. You've seen the videos. I'm sure many of you have of that robot that's able to get you an apple, you know, you want a nice meal. This robot's able to do that. Robots now are able to pour you a nice cocktail. So now we're getting rid of the bartender jobs. All these jobs that, you know, a lot of people attach themselves to for many, many years are now being stripped away because the machines are coming in. So now we got to find new things to entertain ourselves. And before we wither away on this lovely little planet that we spin around on, or if you talk to Sam Walker, he'll argue against that. It does not matter, you know? So what do we have left other than gathering with one another, fist fighting each other in the streets over political issues and getting together, doing the nice little signs, coloring on them, putting them everywhere? What left is there? What left is there? Entertainment industry is going to shit. Everybody's getting arrested because they're a pedophile, you know? Hollywood's can't produce anything because none of these guys can fuck kids no more, I guess. I don't know. So we put out another superhero movie. That's what we're doing. You know, every now and then we'll just like slide in a new movie. Hey, do you like this one? What about Iron Claw? All you fucking autistic wrestling fans, here's Iron Claw. Enjoy that. Shut up for a moment. You know, music is going to shit. We're just finding like the dumbest people imaginable to be rappers. And then just shoot them to stardom. So then you're like looking, you're scratching your head. It's like, is there anything of substance left? And that only thing is joining whatever team, you know, red, blue, fucking conservative, liberal. Are you a Marxist, a communist, a fascist, whatever you want to identify as, a libertarian for all I give a shit, you know, and get out there and make your point heard. And you can do that with signs. You can do that with a megaphone. You can fucking douse yourself in gasoline and light yourself on fire. I don't know. You can do whatever you please to make your point heard, you know? And that's what it's coming down to, is being passionate. And that's why I respect the guy that was passion, that his passion was rigging, okay? Because there's passion there. Similar to the people that go out and there's passion there. It's the only thing you have left is a job or protesting. And if you don't have a job, you might as well start protesting. You know, what are you going to do? Be a Twitch streamer? Nobody's got time. Nobody can afford the internet. The internet is shut down. It's over. It's cut off. No more. The Canadian government says no more internet. And you must listen. It's insane. And I just come on this podcast once a week and I rant and rave about the last of an era, the close of an era. And where do we sit as people? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not the guy to look at. If anything, you know, on my best day, I'm like, I'm like, who would be the prime example of like, if you just took like your uncle, that you know, gave up and gave him CTE. You know, everybody's got that one uncle in the family that could have been something. Maybe it was athletics. You know, they always talk about, you know, your uncle over there, he got an invite to the New York Rangers training camp, but, you know, he decided that pussy, weed, and liquor was much more fun than going out and trying to play professional hockey. You know, he spent his whole youth dreaming about playing in the NHL, and then he got snake bitten by the poison. You know, he got a little bit of sniz, and all of a sudden, you know, fucking, that'll get you. But he could have. You always got to talk about that one thing that didn't happen. I'm that guy if you got CTE, and then, what do? You just bitch about politics, sitting around the dinner table. You know that fucking Trudeau, somebody's going to, you know, that Pierre or fucking, you know, wherever you, I don't know, whatever portion of the country you're in, you just got to, you got to find something to complain about and take that complaint to the streets, put it on poster paper, you know, put glitter on it, get creative. Maybe that will spark a new wave of, Art will become the new, I don't fucking know. Anyway, so thank you for listening to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast. Head on over to the Patreon, patreon.com/dangercat69 to support the show. You can also head on over to dangercatshop.com and all the dates that were listed at the beginning of the show to catch us live, dangercatshop.com.